Seven Knife and Hallers, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven Knife and Hallers.
Chicago, stop what you're doing right now. Walk into the nearest corner store, whatever 24-hour store you got. Put your hand in the cash register for no damn reason. That money is your money. It's time. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to 79th and Hollis, episode 217. We were coming here today originally to do a regular free agency podcast, but then the news dropped yesterday afternoon at approximately 2:15 Pacific time. I was working. I stepped outside for a minute, wondering why my phone was going off so crazy. I had five missed calls. I had like 10, 15 missed texts. It's like, who the fuck died? That was my first thing that came to my head. And then I looked and I saw nothing but Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, and it reported that the Chicago Bears have traded the number one overall pick to the Carolina Panthers for the number 9th pick. For the 61st pick, which
for
is
the okay, pick. First you said the number second pick,
yeah,
and then the number 9th. You mean the 9th pick or the second pick?
No, I said they traded the number one overall pick for the 9th pick for the 61st pick, which is the second round pick, is what I meant to say. A 2024 first and a 2025 second, and then they threw a little parsley at the top with DJ fucking Moore coming to the Chicago Bears. The Bears have a legit number one receiver. King Poles was in the media the last 2 weeks talking a lot of shit. You know, he was going on podcasts. He went on Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback. He was like, yeah, you know, I got like niggas offering me about, you know, a first round pick in every year for the next 3 years. And everybody was like, why would you say that? You're showing your hand. Now, if you're an opposing team, would you trade with them? Now look at you. He got exactly what he wanted. On top of all that, Aaron Rodgers is going to be in fucking New Jersey in 48 to 72 hours. My brother, how are you feeling today?
Oh, I'm feeling very good. I mean, I think I'm more subdued than the average Bears fan just because, as I said years ago, you know, when we started this pod, I don't care about names. I want to see it work. And so, unfortunately for you all on this podcast, you're going to get a subdued Bears fan. You're going to get a subdued Bears journalist and reporter because I want to make sure. I don't know. I feel like this is the Dan Weider effect. Shout out to my boy Dan Weider. He knows, as well as everyone else we work with, that I know what the Bears do. It's probably for us, since, you know, we're lifelong Bears fans, it's probably Bears PTSD, but I just want to see it work. I just want to see it work. That being said, I'm not excited about this. You know, this is a bona fide number one receiver. This is someone for where he made his bones and got his 1,000 yards a season was playing under Kyle Allen, Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Darnold, and Baker Mayfield.
P.J. Washington.
You know, and P.J. Washington. And since it was outside his first year, which was the tail end of Cam Newton's last year, in 2018, he has been the leading receiver every single year. And this year, he even got, even though he was, it's different this year because he literally went through three different quarterbacks, and so it's kind of hard to get those same stats. He still got 7 touchdowns to go along with like 70 receptions or 63 receptions. So, no, I'm definitely excited. It's just the Bears' excuses will be low.
It smells like a lot of PTSD right here. A lot of
Bears. The Bears' excuses will be low. That's all my
point. That's what you want it to be, though.
The Bears' excuses will be low. And so I'm not, now I was go mode because it's now my main focus. Well, we'll get into that. But no, I had a little Twitter thread on the 79th page yesterday.
Yeah, I did peep that. I was like, this nigga must be reflecting.
Because you know me, because you're my brother.
And also, you barely go on random rants on the page.
I barely go on random rants on Twitter. I'm not on Twitter as much. I'm more of a Twitter. I lurk on Twitter. I see things.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I'm a huge Twitter lurker now.
I go on Twitter. I see things. I probably cry laughing. And sorry, I think you hear my dog chuffing at my door. I see things laugh at a Twitter or laugh at somebody, but I don't like before I would, you know, have the energy to argue with it. I don't care about that. Now I'm just trying to, and I'll be working, so I don't care. But yeah, I did not even know about the trade once again because I'm not on Twitter constantly to know. Though I do have a few journalists with like the tweets active just because I want to be able to make sure I'm on top of things that I already don't know. Because the only thing I heard around my friends and my colleagues was that maybe the Panthers will probably try to get the pick, but who knows what's going to happen. And that's all I suspected, you know.
Yeah, that's why I tweeted the Petey Pablo gift because I saw the Vegas don't fake lines the phone. And shit.
Yeah. We and Scott don't fake the phone. If we don't have a source, we're not going to say, like, oh, man, this may happen. Yeah. You know, offer to me. And I see this funny thing. I see it with other teams and their fans or journalists and everything or newer media who will say, oh, man, you know, we got this. This is going to happen. Then it doesn't happen. I remember the whole – the Laker thing that happened years ago where some dude said – some trade was going to happen. Dude,
no, he said Kawhi was coming to the Lakers and he went to the Clippers.
It never happened. Like, we're not going to do that. If it's not there, it's not there. And so all I knew was maybe the Panthers, but like, that's not a certainty. So I was like, hey, we'll see. So I had logged off from Twitter. I was playing, going through my fourth run through of Last of Us Part 2, a great HBO show, even better game. I'm glad that I've been with this game since 2013. Anyway, besides the point. I look at my phone, it's 4:33 p.m. And all I see in big bold letters, trade happened. I say, yo. And so I click on. I'm like, that's a haul. That is a haul. But I do want to say one thing for Panthers fans. If we have any Panthers fans who are listening, you all did not get fleeced. I just want to let you know, you all did not get fleeced. I kind of hate seeing fleeced be the first thing I see on there. You all did not get fleeced. You had to do what you had to do to get the number one pick. You got someone like Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, who, and this is coming from a Buckeye fan, I thought CJ Stroud was a suspect until I saw him take off against Georgia.
CJ Stroud had an amazing combine.
I'm not even talking. The combine is the weakest. The combine should be abolished. I hate everything about it. I don't mind a little pro day if you want to, you know, showcase off your skills independently, but the only thing I care about the combine is just seeing the 40s and seeing human beings test their endurance, because outside that is useless. You, like, for instance, Deebo Samuel ran the 40 in a 4.45, and yeah. I think this year is the fastest lineman ran a 4.39 edge rusher. Deebo Samuel would burn him. he would burn him. The 40 means nothing. Bench press is cool. You know, it's cool to see it, but there are so many muscles that go into play when you're blocking. It's not just your chest. It's your core. It's your legs. So I don't care about the combine. Ooh. But brother almost said Columbine. I don't care about the
combine. I don't care about Columbine.
I don't care about the combine. That's of no interest to me. That being said, I've seen CJ Stroud against Georgia. I was, okay, he's going to be a good pick. And so I say all that to say, the Panthers, you got to do what you got to do to get that bona fide number one pick. It's just, you just have to do what you have to do. I'm not mad. So Panthers fans should not feel bad about this. You have teams because the Bears held all the chips, because if Panthers didn't want the pick, they'll give it to somebody else. Eventually that pick is going to get sold, because the Bears were never going to pick a quarterback. They were never going to keep the number one pick. There's no need for it. It's just – it was a cherry on top to have that number one pick, because now they can do what they want. This number one pick is power. And in this draft, I do not think this is a great quarterback draft outside of two quarterbacks. I think Will Levis is mid. That's why he transfers to Kentucky. Anthony Richardson has the body and the physical talent to be incredible.
He's a project.
But he is one of the biggest projects I've seen ever.
Since Trey Lance.
Since not even that, it's at least Trey Lance had a year when he was steamrolling his competition. Trey Lance had like a 40-3 year when he was playing North Dakota. He at least had it. You can say the competition wasn't good, but he had that year. Anthony Richardson, his numbers are terrible. When I'm looking for a college quarterback, if I'm looking to be good, I'm looking in the 25 plus touchdown range, under 10 interception range. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm looking for. Now, being said, of course, it can be that certain QBs May didn't have that and turned out to be better than they were in the NFL, better than they were in college in the NFL, because that happened with whatchamacallit. I want to say it happened with Josh Allen in his college career, and I have to look it up to verify. But with Anthony Richardson, yeah, Josh Allen was unimpressive. He was 28-15 his sophomore year at Wyoming, 3,200 yards passing, 16-6 the next year. Mid, but it's not Anthony Richardson, whose first year he only played three games. And only was really just appearances. Second year, he played seven games, six touchdowns, five interceptions. This year, he plays three. He throws for 2,500 yards, 17 touchdowns, nine interceptions, a percentage below 54%. I guess the only good thing is you can talk to him is rushing. He did rush for 600 yards and nine TDs, but nothing was impressive. So saying that to say, you have two quarterbacks you have to take. Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, me believing Bryce Young is that franchise changer. You got to do it. So, no, so
pretty much the Colts are fucked, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I don't know if I have paid attention to the NFL draft or the how quarterbacks have been selected as much before, like Trubisky. Trubisky, I think, was that first time I think I was like, why is there smoke coming up for him? Why is it such a big, like a big rush for him? Because he has a big arm, he can run, he's athletic.
It happened last minute.
You know, it's the same thing I saw Will Levis in Kentucky, and then also with whatchamacallit, Anthony Richardson. I'm like, why are these dudes being bumped up to be like the best out there? I'm like, I watched Anthony Richardson extensively.
Well, they did the same thing with Zach Wilson too.
At least Zach Wilson had a cold year at BYU. You know what I'm saying? Like, Zach Wilson had an outstanding year at BYU to the point that you go like, man, that nigga was a beast in college.
I did that, but I'm saying, like, even to the point where Justin was falling, to where Justin fell. When he should have been number two, Will Levis, taken.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson and Will Levis are just confusing because there was nothing that happened that made you go, I guess. And then Will Levis had to stay to his senior year. It was always a red flag for me. Senior year QBs are a no-no.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You should not be there.
Why'd you have to stay there that damn long?
You know what I'm saying? At least Zach Wilson had a 33-3 touchdown, you know, touchdown interception ratio his final year at BYU and had a completion percentage over 70. So it's like I can see them having some hype built up for him. But, yeah, so, no, the Panthers fans, you did not get – fleeced. You had to do what you had to do. And do you want your talented number one receiver as a foundation or talented quarterback as your foundation? You take the quarterback 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't use the word fleece, but I will say that Ryan Poles had him at gunpoint
He had every single team at gunpoint.
He did. But the DJ Moore thing is what, like, if they don't know DJ Moore, you'd be like, okay, that's a really good deal. DJ Moore is what made literally every, not only just Bears fans, but every fan of every other team, every national media member be like, what the fuck? like they put DJ Moore in there too. And what made it funnier is if you read Schefter's tweet, DJ Moore is the last thing mentioned. Like, and don't forget what LeBron say, we're going to add two more. That's kind of what DJ
Moore.
He go two more for y'all. That's basically what DJ Moore was for the deal, man. So I do agree with that. I think it's a win-win for both teams. I think, Carolina, you got to do what you got to do. And, you know, we've heard, you know, they got Frank Reich. Reich is their new coach. You know, they said there's a couple people who, you know, split. Some people want CJ Stroud, some want Bryce Young. Well, you got to pick it a little now. So you get to make the decision. You get 47 days now to – go over the whole evaluation process, and they jumped in line. I think the Texans, most specifically the Colts, thought Ryan Poles was bullshitting. Like, you remember, Ryan Poles said a couple times in his first press conference at the Combine, he said, well,
Mark Schlereth is currently destroying Packers fans on Twitter. I just want to say, Mark Schlereth, I love you for this. Because someone said, they were talking about Aaron Rodgers being traded. I believe you were the guy that said he wouldn't be traded unless he agreed to it. But, hey, context doesn't matter. Also, the drive is better than your show. Mark Sierra said, the ring next to the middle one is the ring I won when we opened up the can of whoop ass on the Packers. And it's him putting up a middle finger. Packers fan. And he was like, you all had 30 plus years with two of the best quarterbacks in the history of the game, and your guys only have two rings. Wow.
Yeah. You know, Packer fans are going through a little identity, but that reality hasn't hit them yet. It's going to happen. Like, it's just like if you heard the Packers president, it's like when your girl throw your clothes out on the front lawn, Aaron just got to come get them. That's the only difference.
And here's the thing. Aaron could come back. And in my mind, I'm preparing for him to come back. I'm preparing for the Bears to not just get a clean sweep, clean slate, and the Bears get a chance to just take the division. Well,
Aaron's not coming back. The Packers don't want him back. He's either going to retire or he's going to be a Jet.
Like I said,
I'm going to give advice to you and other Bears fans out there. Let that PTSD go.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. No. You've had your time. No. It's not even Bears PTSD.
It sounds like PTSD.
It's like when Cleveland fans dealt with Jordan. You had to wait until it was out. Okay, you had to wait.
To be fair, Jordan ain't do to Cleveland what Aaron Rodgers has been doing to us. Well, Jordan to Cleveland is tame compared to what Aaron Rodgers has been doing to us.
Jordan's record versus Cleveland is pretty brutal.
Yeah, but that's basketball, though. How many times have our dreams been shattered by Aaron Rodgers? A lot of times.
They never had a chance because they knew he was there. Let's just say the Michael Jordan versus the Eastern Conference.
That's fair.
He never had a chance.
Michael Jordan versus the NBA. Let's be 100% real.
You just never had a chance. Okay. But like I said, it's not Bears PTSD to say, when he come back, man, I'm going to be afraid. No. Ain't nobody. It's not afraid of it because I didn't see fear in Justin or any of the young guys' eyes when playing the Packers. They were playing their hearts out. My only concern is to be the man. You got to beat the man.
Which is the only part that I'm so upset about.
And so, in order for me to believe, it's either I have to see that tweet from Schefter that says Aaron Rodgers and the Jets deal is complete, or the Bears just come out and steamroll the Packers. I have to see it to believe it. I have no faith that happened. But I know Packers fans, regardless, hear those footsteps. They know. It don't matter if he comes back. They know it's changing. They know. The division don't care about you no more.
If Rodgers comes back, it's gonna be like that scene in was that SpongeBob or American Dad? What is like? How many times do I have to tell you, old man? SpongeBob.
It's gonna be like I love the young folk. How many times we have to teach you this lesson, old man?
It might be like that, but I'm with you. But if it wasn't for the Packers saying like, yeah, we don't want Buddy back, like I would be with y'all. Like, oh, let's wait a little bit. But they also got to see what they got in Jordan Love. He's on his. And he got like, I think he's in the fifth year or his fifth year is next year because they didn't pick up his fifth year option.
No. So, I'm pretty sure this is a show and prove it for him.
Yeah, so they got to know what they got in him. You know what I'm saying? But long story short, let's get to how we feel before we get to voicemails. We watched all them games last year. I did 10 games.
This is his third year. Same as Justin.
He got drafted the year before Justin.
Look, the same to me.
No, Justin got drafted 2021. Jordan Love was drafted during the COVID 2021. Draft. He was drafted
2021. Same year.
You sure?
I'm looking at it right now. 2021.
Okay, I could have sworn it was the 2020 draft, but okay.
And I know because you're a dick, you're looking up what I just to verify.
Of course, it's 2021. I am. Of course, I am.
I'm not gonna say that. I'm gonna let this silence kill you.
Hold on. Hold on. We gonna look it up right here. You are correct.
Yeah. I'm looking at it.
You are correct, my friend.
You're hard headed.
I am. I'm very hard. No. I am right. Jordan, that's when he played a game. He was drafted by the Packers in the first round of the 2020 NFL draft. Yeah, nigga. Fuck you. I knew I was right. I knew I was fucking right. He got drafted that because that's what pissed Aaron Rodgers off. It was 2020 because it came out of nowhere. Nobody saw it coming. It was a draft that it was virtual. And that's when that nigga Roger Goodell was tweeting a lot, was doing a draft live from his bedroom. Yeah, I know I wasn't tripping.
That says 2021 is the first year he played.
Yeah, that he didn't play anything in 2020. 2021 is when he got on the field. He didn't play any minutes.
I don't believe you.
Look at his Wikipedia, 2020 NFL draft.
I don't believe you.
you just doing the, no, we finna look up round by round now. NFL.
Hey, I'm just looking at Pro Football Reference, and it just said 20.
Yeah, because that's when he actually got on the field. He didn't play a second in 2020.
I'm sorry, bro. This is my truth. My truth is that I don't believe you.
Your truth is that you don't believe it. 13 quarterbacks were selected, and then he was in 2020. Yes, I was correct. But anyway.
My truth, brother.
Anyway.
I don't think so.
So we did all these games last year. I did 10 games. How many games did you do? Like, you did 10 too. We both did 10.
I did 10 too because I was sick several times.
Yeah. So we both did 10 games. We saw how many games that, you know, Justin was, you know, in all due respect to these men, because they are professional athletes. They are better than any of the other, really than, you know, a great percentage of people who play football. They're great. But we saw him throwing passes to people like Affirmative Action St. Brown. Shout out to my man on Twitter who said that. You know what I'm saying? We've seen him throwing to the Dante Pettises. You know, we've seen him throwing to Byron Pringles and things like that. How much better does DJ Moore make this receiving core? Because now you've got DJ Moore, who's a legitimate number one. Chase Claypool can be a number two now. Darnell Mooney is a three. You got Cole Kmet as your tight end, and then you've even got, let's just assume they bring Demo back. You got a three-headed running game monster with Justin, Demo, and Khalil Herbert. How much better does this make this receiving core?
I'm gonna get a little existential. We're not really existential, but more ontological about the nature of things. I don't know what the fuck that means. Existential is, well,
I'm gonna be like McKinney and Kale, whatever, said big word, existential. Like, I don't know what that word means.
So first, ontological is something involving the nature of something. The nature. Nature of something meaning the ontology of my door. It's wooden. It's made into a square shape. Or what is the ontology of God? What is the nature of God? God is good. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. So that's what we're talking about. I didn't mean existential is more regarding existence. So I'll go ontological is probably the best word to say. When you're looking at the animal kingdom, there are the predators and there are the prey. When you're dealing with some people have a mouse problem in their home. That's what do? You bring in a predator, like a cat. A cat takes out the mice, problem solved. There are plenty of people who have cats who are just around their house, the premises, and you use them just as a natural deterrent. If, for instance, when people see house spiders, you think, oh, we got to get rid of spiders. Actually, house spiders are good. They take out ants and any other small insects in your house. They serve a purpose. DJ Moore is similar to this for the Bears. He sets everything right. He naturally becomes the apex receiver.
I was wondering where you were going with this.
He naturally becomes the apex receiver, the number one. Claypool, Mooney go into that two and that three. They go to where they're supposed to be. Chase Claypool is a big body receiver. He can catch over the top, but he's not that number one, or at least he hasn't shown that yet. When he came to the Bears, I was excited because I was like, oh man, this gives Darnell Mooney some help, and this gives him, you know, a chance to do more. That being said, I realized, okay, he wasn't ready for that one-on-one, that focused defense, that two-on-one coverage, that, oh, here goes he, follow him to the side of the field because he becomes a problem. DJ Moore, however, has dealt with that since he's been in the league. He has been their receiver, their go-to guy, that bona fide number one receiver, and now it sets everything right for the Bears. So now that receiving core, you think, that's a good receiving core. The only issue you'll probably encounter is where do Darnell Mooney and Chase Claypool fit in? Because career-wise, Chase Claypool's never had 1,000 yards. Darnell Mooney has. Making the tough catches the past year, you've seen Darnell Mooney make more. So should Darnell Mooney be that two? Chase Claypool be that three? Or will it just be 2A, 2B, and we'll figure out what happens? I don't know. My thoughts are you – have DJ Moore because I feel like JSN is probably not going to drop. It's going to drop into the second round just because of injuries and everything. I don't see him going in the first round. Or if they do, maybe trade up. I don't know. But my thought would be
who would need to find some value. Well,
you're not getting JSN with a nice pick. And JSN is not going in the top 10 pick anyway. That's D-line. That's D-line. Yeah, wide receiver is probably
we'll get to that topic in a minute. But go ahead.
probably at least to your concern. But like I said, DJ Moore sets the receiving core straight. Now people have their bona fide roles. Now they can focus on themselves and the defense can't occupy one person because if they do, the next person gets out. You want to double DJ Moore, you're going to find Claypool and Mooney open. Now their needs go into running back. Their needs go into defensive alignment. I think this becomes a tertiary need rather than it's the primary need.
Okay, so I don't think it matters, like, who's the number two. I think that, while you were correct, Darnell Mooney does have the better, has had more yards than Chase Claypool. I'm one of the few people who, to this day, I still don't give a fuck about what they gave up for Chase Claypool. I think that Claypool is more of an unmotivated type of thing, and I do think I wasn't expecting him to just come in midseason and blow the top off. And when we were at these games, they weren't even targeting him half the time because he didn't know the playbook. So I feel like with a full season under his – I mean, with a full camp OTAs under his belt, spending more time with Justin, spending more time with his receiving core, it'll help. And now the spotlight's honestly off him. Everybody's looking at DJ Moore, and he still wants to get paid. So now you got to share the spotlight with a legit number one and also with Moon, because Moon is like, nigga, I'd have been here longer than both of y'all. I'm like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Justin, my boy. You know Justin's not going to stop throwing the Moon just because he got these two. They got a special – connection. They're actually friends in real life. So to me, this is going to be a great competition. It's going to be a great balanced room. And I feel like for Chase Claypool, it's going to be something where Chase is going to be like, oh, I can eat. And it's not nothing where I feel like Chase is intimidated. Chase is one of the first players to tweet DJ Moore. Like, oh, nigga, it's on. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we making moves. And I think it's going to be great. I think this is going to be the most balanced wide receiver room we've had since the Alshon, Brandon Marshall days with Martellus Bennett as the tight end. I think it's going to be the most we've had since then, and it's going to be fun. And you know, like I said, when we're going to get to what they do with the night with number ninth pick and everything like that. But for the first time in fucking,
they may trade Claypool.
I don't think they're going to do that. But
yeah, 1 year left on this contract. It's a very minimal contract, and if you're trying to get yourself someone like JSN, don't be shocked.
Don't get me wrong. If they trade Claypool and then draft Jason, you will see here no problem for me. But I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to happen.
Oh, I'm telling you, I would only see them, and this is just literally just me thinking out loud. This is not no source or anything, but if you had a chance to get JSN, or let's say you know a team's going to get there, and a team who would do well to have someone like Claypool, don't be shocked if you see them trade for him. That's all.
I would be shocked just because Poles did the trade and he doubled down on the trade. And I feel like he wants to at least give him a year before he does that. Now, I'm not saying
if there's one thing I've seen from him is that if there's an opportunity, he's going to take it.
Yeah, no, I think they're going to move around. I think them 2 seconds they got, they're going to move around. But as far as like with the room, though, I think it's going to be a very competitive room. They have an actual legit wide receiving core now. I think it's going to be fun. I think Cole Kmet's going to be happy. And one thing I loved about this trade was seeing the reaction from the entire team. Remember Jaquan Brisker, right after the season ended, they asked him about the number one pick. He's like, man, I really don't give a fuck about that pick. Like, I want to win. You know what I'm saying? He came off out the gate. I hope they trade it. You know what I'm saying? I hope they trade it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did that. He got excited about it. Everybody got excited. You know, and we were all waiting. You know, what's Justin going to say about it? Justin put it in. By the way, shout out to Justin. I see what you're doing. I see the young lady that you on the low with. I want to give you a round of applause, my brother. A round of applause. You know, I see
what was the fun flex?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hey, I saw you out there in Miami on the boat playing I Need a Girl Part 2. You're not low, my brother, but I salute you. But Justin took a break from his vacation to acknowledge it, and I just feel like it's really dope. And like you said, I'm with you. It's fun. I'd really feel as excited as I am. It's not over the top excitement like it was when we got Khalil Mack. Cause I feel like I had a little bit of delusional excitement when we got Khalil Mack at the same time. This is more like, okay, I've been hurt before, and I really,
bro. I'm going to push back on that. As my wife,
I'm talking about how I felt.
I'm not gonna let you feel delusional. I think you had all the reason in the world to feel Khalil Mack was such a game changing. You feel like you thought this is the piece that's going to make them Super Bowl.
No, this is what I mean by that. I'll cut you off, but this
I'm
going to
push
mean,
back on that, Scott. Thanks for your comments, Scott. I'm going to push back on that real quick.
This is what I mean by my hesitation. Hold on. This is what I mean by unrealistic, because there was always that if with Mitch.
That's true.
Always that if. There's no if with Justin.
No.
with he's like, man, this is the piece if Mitch can actually play well.
You know, it's funny. I want to shout out Packer fans, specifically Packer media, because Packer media seems so. I guess it's weird for me because I know when I go around my colleagues, the Jason Leeches, the Pat Finleys, the Dan Wieters, I know that these are esteemed men who
the Herb Howells, the Herb. I saw Herb. You on NBC Sportsnet the other day.
Shout out to my Herb. Boy Herb, who's making a name for himself and
with the black hoodie. I see it. With the
quicker time than I could, knows more of the game than I do, and my colleagues who I know the game. And are not delusional fans and separate themselves and don't like have that sort of. I say that because a lot of Packers media just have this undying loyalty to the Packers, which is just weird because I feel like the objectiveness is kind of gone. Objectiveness gets gone or gets lost in there. Where I see them say, well, now Justin Fields has a quarterback or a wide receiver he can overthrow to. And I was like, that was but never you know what it is, problem.
It's like what you just said earlier. They're the king of the hill. They've been the king of the hill for, you know, niggas since forever, since Favre was popping pills. Like, you know, us and the Vikings, like, we have our little years. I think we have the same number of division titles since Favre became quarterback. I think, like, we both got, like, six or something like that each. But, like, for the most part, the Packers have been the king of the hill for the last 30 years. So, like you said, they've been at the top so long that they're delusional about what's going in the underbelly. That – now they're starting to hear some footsteps, and it's like, oh, well, they can't get past the gates. We're safe here.
That's true.
And that's what they think it is.
It's like overthrows. I'm like, Justin doesn't overthrow. That was never his issue.
Yeah.
Your issue with Justin was, why are you holding on to the ball? You had a receiver there. Like, that's your main issue, but it ain't overthrows. I mean, that man is one of the best deep ball throwers in the league, so it was never that. So I was like, I think you're afraid. I was like, you're afraid, my friend. You're worried. You know what's about to happen.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I say that because I don't see Bears media do this. Bears media, even though fans get on Bears media and feel like, oh, they're all negative. No, it's just because they've been around the Bears long enough. If you're Pat Finley, you've covered the Bears as long as you have, you're going to know, like, I'm not going to get my hope, but I'm going to wait and see. But even then, I can see all of our colleagues saying, wow. That was really good. And so now the air is going to be different when we go to Soldier Field. It's no longer I have to walk in, look at Herb, look at Nick and say, all right, well, let's see what happens. And it's like I'll be playing chess on my computer while they're getting smoked. Nope. Now scrutiny comes.
Now here's also for us, well, at least especially for me. Here's the test. Remember how we always say, oh, I'm not mad about it. Because we knew these niggas was tough. So it's like we didn't come into it. Now there's expectations. So if there is a close loss, I know for me, I'm going to have to bring random emotions down and get back into your, okay, non-biased journalistic head. It's going to be a little tough. That's the test for me personally, man. But I think it's really good. It's a great trade. It's a lot more work to do. A lot more work to do. We're not done. Got the draft. Free agency starts on Monday. You know, I'm pretty sure we're gonna hear deals announced right away on Monday because I feel like you know they say the legal tamper starts Monday. Let's cut the shit. Niggas is agreeing to deals as we're recording this right now. Let's be really, really real. So we're looking forward to all of that, man. But let's get to see what y'all gotta say about this. We put the voicemail up. And we got some of y'all reactions. I mean, you said we got like six people left voicemails.
Let's see what we have. 1, 2, 3, 5. It's a little bit long. I need you all to relax.
No, they excited, man. That's what we're here for.
What's up, gentlemen? This is John from Alabama, originally from Chicago. First off, I just want to thank y'all for being the voice of reason for what was an abysmal Bears year. Although we had our glimmers of hope in Justin Fields, but I really appreciate all the work. And today is a day that we all to be excited about. Today is a day that we all need to celebrate and look forward to the future because there's never been a time in my lifetime, I'm 30 years old now, just turned 30 last week, there's never been a time in my life that I've been this excited to be a Chicago Bears fan. And I think that's saying something. So nothing else to say, but bear down, baby.
Yes, sir.
No, that's there has never been a time like this in Bears history. This has never existed.
Who's done right?
I don't care about 85. 85 injury history. There's never been a time. There's never been a time when you're like, And like, because you have to be like, shout out Adam Rank, who I saw him. Like, it's so funny. When I saw him in Hallis Hall, I was like, oh, yeah, Adam Rank. And then I left. I was like, oh, that was Adam Rank. So shout out to him. I'm going to link up with you, Adam. Chat with you. Definitely can come on the show.
Come on the pod, man.
Come on the pod and chat with us. But he said the Bears, what Bears are in the modern era. And that should scare people. Because the Bears in the ancient era, the George Hallis days, were a dominating force who were ahead of the curve. You know, the defense, the running game, that was the system for the NFL, and the Bears did that with exception, notable exception. And so now the Bears are in that modern age, and if they are, then it's something to be worried about, NFL. Next one.
Yes. What's up to my fellow Bears fans? This is an absolute haul. I'm so excited. A fantastic move by Ryan Poles. And we got the pick for next year, too. I already see Marvin Harrison Jr. in a Bears uniform. How about the bust, man? Dang. You know, shout out to fellow Bears fans. You're finally out of the darkness. You're going to see the light from here on out. Very excited. Thank y'all.
Now, that first round pick is dangerous next year. Yeah. It's dangerous.
And I'm going to tell you why it's dangerous. Even though both of us fully believe in Justin, I just want to put that out there.
No. I'm talking about the pick you got for the Panthers.
No, I'm with you. No, I'm clearing the lane. Let me say what I was going to say. Because I think even Joy Taylor said this too, and I agree. We all believe in Justin. I think this is going to go to the next level. Let's just say, play devil's advocate, Justin didn't work out, right? You got a top five pick, and you got a second rounder, and you can move up to get Caleb Williams if you needed to. I'm not saying that that's going to be the case, because we both believe in Justin, and I believe Justin's going to go to even new stratosphere now that he's got an actual receiver. I'm just saying, if that happened, Ryan Poles gave himself a hell of a, safety blanket.
Oh, that's an ingenious safety net.
Yeah.
That's an ingenious safety net, because if you do get that first round, and make no mistake, the Panthers are going to stink.
Panthers are going to be ass.
They're going to be right back in top five territory. They're going to be terrible.
And so if Justin's great like we expect, Marvin Harrison Jr., come on
and,
down.
And then it's like, all right, Mooney or Chase Claypool,
one of you go niggas find going. Y'all some work.
Go find y'all some work.
It's going to be we're going to have them do like on Succession, boil on the floor, make them niggas fight in a little circle. Which one of y'all who wins is going to join DJ and Marvin Harrison join you? The rest of you niggas going to be playing somewhere else.
So, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Take care. All right, next one.
Hey, on my mama kids, I was born on 103rd and Wentworth. The band. Yeah,
you sound like you was born on 103rd and Crenshaw.
With Ryan Poles in them, folks. Stop playing with them people. Stop. They got rid of Khalil Mack. We was sad as hell, folks. But don't worry about it. He told us to get ready. Because our blessing was coming, folks. And what happened, folks?
Now, that sounds like a Chicago nigga if I ever heard one.
No, but when he first came on for the first second, I was like, hold on.
That's a Chicago nigga if I ever heard one. We appreciate you all for listening. Appreciate the comment. Yeah, no, that's that man. At least I'm 103rd. I said, all right.
No, but right, no, bro, when he say, what up, homie? I was like, whoa, we got some LA listeners?
Next one. Okay, these are getting long. I'm going to put my phone down for like holding it.
Hello, what's up, y'all?
This is Ortiz
6
on
Twitter.
Ah! Well, you are Ortiz. First of all, shout out to Professor Folks over there. Brother, get a better phone.
This nigga in a boiler room when they did the Mankind Rock match.
Keep up the good work with your weight loss, true. Thank you. I am so fucking happy, boy. You have no idea. And this big whole season is in effect. I think he just aimly raped the Carolina Panthers.
All right.
That trade hit.
Okay.
I just don't know how to feel when we have a GM that's actually connecting these teams instead of us being
fast. This nigga is in purgatory.
But, man, I'm just so excited. So excited. Capital, first of all, we got a haul plus a legit number one receiver who's only 25 going into his 26th season, who's under contract still. And really, this year is guaranteed, so if it doesn't work out for some reason, we could just move on to him. And if it does work out, we still got 2 years of control for him. You know, he's an option that, you know, he's the number one that Justin desperately needs for him to continue his development. You know, and I'm just so excited. And I was dead ass serious when I said to Flo's and to Hakuna Matata, to my first bumps on me, fellas.
You did say first bump for me. Shout out to OLRT, brother. Get yourself a phone from the 21st century.
Yeah, shout out to
Leave Guantanamo Bay where you're being tortured right now.
He sounded like he was in that town that Ellie and Joel.
He's like, what's going on with OLRT? You know what I'm saying?
He sounded like he was in that town that Ellie and Joel was hiding in like a couple episodes on The Last of Us, nigga, when he was looking for his brother. But shout out to Olo Ortiz.
Next one. It's 3 minutes.
Jesus.
What's up, y'all? Olo Ortiz 69 on Twitter. And to collect my thoughts because I was a little excited.
And you're still in Guantanamo Bay. What are you doing?
You know, now with the number 9 pick, you know, there's a lot of possibilities of us, what we need. I'm still holding out hope that we still get JSN and completely revamp that wide receiver room. If not, I wouldn't mind trading back down. Also, there's a chance that Jalen Carter might fall to us, especially which quarterback takes, whichever quarterback takes. I know they're saying C.J. Stroud. I'll see another report that they're in love with Anthony Richardson. You know, so, and then what is Arizona going to do now? So they're definitely back. They're not drafting quarterbacks, so now you have all these teams that are scrambling. And don't be surprised if only two Carter fall to us. Also, I know a lot of people might hate this. I also wouldn't mind taking one of those corners in number 9 as well. Because, you know, it all depends if Paul's wants to resign, you know, JJ. You know, he wants an extension. Don't be surprised if he doesn't. I wouldn't mind also drafting another safety and second round or third round. CE drafts. You know, replacement because he is, you know, overturned. I doubt that Paul is going to give him another extension. So the possibilities are endless for this team. Also, I'd rather spend all my money on free agency. Well, not all, but like a good chunk of it on the O-line. Like, I'd rather draft D-line prospects in drafts. I've been reading reports that they said that O-line prospects bust out the quickest now in the NFL, so... You know, I know people are around feet. His arms are short. Moore might be a guard. I know there's Curtis Johnson there as a left tackle. But Poles, my man, the left tackle, forget his name.
I'm going to put a time limit on you niggas' calls.
But I think also, too, a lot of Bears fans have got sour tastes in that Detroit game in their mouth. Also, back to it for Jones, my bad. And I think that's what a lot of Bears fans have had. Was terrible. But if you look, he was improving every game. I know PSF, you can wipe your ass at them, but they were grading him good. A lot of other, you know, sites were actually grading him pretty good. So I don't think that they're going to get a left tackle. Now, I would get a guard in the center, but I think a lot of the pressure was coming up the middle. So I'd rather solidify that in the free agency. Also, you know, later on, I really like Sam LaPorta as our tight end. I know a lot of people were running Darnell Washington because, you know, dude's a monster. He's, you know, a tremendous blocker, but you need that wide tight end. And I think with LaPorta.
Yeah, it even cut him off from talking. That was 3 minutes.
I will say, we got to start playing the Oscars wrap-up music.
You know, it's funny because right now, after all these conversations, I realize the Bears are blessed.
Yeah.
My room was getting dark, so I had to turn some lights on. But what I hated about these lights was the glare. Right now, it feels like I'm in heaven because you can just see lights glaring across it. But you know what? This is divine right now.
This reflects what the Bears are feeling.
This reflects what the Bears have. That feeling of, God did this.
Of hope.
But going with JSN, going back to him, I don't know. For me, I would not be shocked if he slid to the second round. Here's why. I say that because I feel like Quentin Johnson, Jordan Addison, Jalin Hyatt, maybe even Zay Flowers might be considered ahead of him only because of injuries and the lack of production he was able to get this year. Now,
Jordan Addison for sure. I don't know about Zay Flowers, but Jordan Addison is definitely going to be.
Barring injuries, I would say JSN is the second best wide receiver in this draft, barring injuries. I mean, Quentin Johnson was outstanding, but I still have Jordan Addison ahead of both of them.
Yeah,
Jordan Addison will be the first, and then JSN will be second. Quentin Johnson, Jalin Hyatt, because Jalin Hyatt, even though he was on the back of Hendon Hooker, he had ridiculous yards. But even though he was kind of out of nowhere, oh my goodness, he was producing. It's kind of the same with JSN because he He came last year with a loaded receiver core in Olave and Wilson and was still able to produce. And then you know, Jackson was supposed to be that the number one. Injuries came. All of a sudden, Marvin Harrison Jr. comes out. You're like, holy crap. He's incredible. So I wouldn't be – I for some reason, I feel like he's going to slide. I don't know.
I wouldn't be shocked. But here's a question. Nine, what do you do with nine now?
D-line. D-line is just too important. If now there's also Paris Johnson as a Buckeyes fan, obviously. I've seen him plenty of times, and I know his work. But D-line is just – I feel like Jalen Carter is probably going to get taken by the Raiders. Unless
well, somebody made a good point. I don't know if the Raiders would want to do that after the bad publicity with the Henry Ruggs shit.
I mean, there's that, but there's also look how great Aaron Rodgers is and do – Aaron Rodgers. Henry Ruggs at Bama? Sorry, Aaron Rodgers. That's my Anthony Richardson. But with I know I was going with the Anthony Richardson thing, but with the Henry Ruggs thing, he was from Bama, right? What do they mean they don't understand?
No, because the bad publicity that the team took from what he did.
Oh, the publicity because Henry Ruggs was involved and all of that. Yeah, I got you. I don't know.
I'm with you. I don't think he slides to nine. I think somebody grabs before nine. But Adam Schefter report today, the Bears will be going to the Georgia Pro Day and will be meeting with Jalen Carter. So, if Jalen Carter's sitting there now, we're not having any conversations. It's no fucking brainer. You take Jalen Carter. You know what I'm saying? And this is all assuming that he doesn't go to fucking prison. But assuming he's actually going to get drafted, you fucking take him.
My thought is, you definitely take him. My thought is... You're probably going to get CJ or Bryce Young are going to be split between the Panthers and the Texans. I don't know where it's going to go from that, but they're going to go there. Arizona is probably getting Will Anderson.
Arizona's trading back. That's like all the rumors that they're trading back.
If not, that's where I would settle in. And then the Colts, they're going to go either Levis or Anthony Richardson. Seattle is that's the issue. Are they going to pick up Jalen Carter? Are they going to get like Tyree Wilson? I don't know. I don't know.
Here's the interesting thing about the Geno contract, because before he signed, Pete Carroll said that Geno extension has nothing to do with them, that they will still draft a quarterback. And then we find out after Geno signs the extension, the Seahawks are able to move away from Geno after year one with no cap hit. So they still might get a quarterback too. I think there's going to be a couple teams that's going to move down. I mean, try to jump up to try to get maybe Anthony Richardson or Will Levi, whatever. I don't know how you pronounce it. Levi or Levis? Levis?
I just said Levis. I don't know anything about that.
I do believe we're going to see four quarterbacks taken out of the top 10. And so I do think there's going to be a little bit more maneuvering. So even though I think Jalen Carter's going to be gone, I still think it's 50-50. There's a chance he'd get there. But I'm with you either way. I love JSN. I wouldn't, if they do draft JSN, you would have no problems with me. But I'm actually kind of fine with the wide receiver room right now for this year, me personally. Now, we saw Mecole Hardman. He tweeted Justin Fields. That might be a guy you signed in free agency. He's not going to cost a lot of fucking money. But you got to build them trenches. From here on out, free agency and draft. Trenches. Offensive line and defensive line. That's where it needs to be. And that's why I think it's going to go. And I also feel that the Bears are going to have so many options at pick nine, because of all these quarterback-hungry teams. And I really think that he's going to go best player available, because the Bears have too many holes, I feel, to just go by fit.
Yeah. I have right now, for my understanding, like my take is someone like Jalen Carter is probably – I don't think the Lions would pick him up, because I don't necessarily think that's their need right now. Jalen Carter
They pick after us, don't they?
They pick sixth.
Okay.
Because they got that from the Rams. I don't see whatchamacallit. I feel like they're gonna probably look for edge rather than look for a interior lineman like Jalen Carter. So that's just that's just my guess. It's still probably flip flopping with CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, Will Anderson. I believe those are the three. I don't know right now. I don't know. But I do know it's Seahawks and then it's Lions. What they will do, I mean, there's just so many ways they could go.
What do you feel about Peter Strzokowski at nine, the offensive lineman from Northwestern?
No.
Been a lot of smoke around him.
I don't trust anything from Northwestern. So, no. No, absolutely not. But if the Raiders do get Will Levis at quarterback, if he drops, then I'll be like, well, maybe. I don't know. Who knows? But if Jalen Carter falls, Miles Murphy falls, Miles Murphy may just fall anyway. I'm not sure. So it's so many things regarding so many possibilities that I'm honestly, outside of the top three, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't even have a glimpse.
I mean, the Panthers don't even really know what they're doing. So it's going to be a lot of things that we know that Ryan Poles going to prepare, man. And we saw last year the draft. Ryan Poles is going to jump around in this draft. Like, this nigga's not done trading. He finessed. Yeah, he came into the draft last year. First NFL draft with 6 picks, left with 11.
Yeah.
He's going to – I think this, the 53rd and 61st pick are going to be traded. Because then they might go get them a tackle. Like, you know what? We still want JSNs. We're going to trade up higher in the second round to go get him.
I mean, you also got to consider freaking Christian Gonzalez, who Oregon. He's a cornerback from Oregon. You got Tyree Wilson, who's a Texas Tech.
That nigga. Tyree Wilson,
who's a Texas Tech. He's an edge rusher.
6'7".
But, I mean, I don't know. It's just a tough decision for them to make. I really don't know. If they got Jalen Carter – or if Jalen Carter's off the board and they decided to get Miles Murphy, even though some people have Miles Murphy falling, or even some people think Bijan Robinson, who's the running back from Texas, is going to be that guy. I don't really know. It's just, man, this is one of the toughest drafts for me to think.
But
my thoughts, like, but people who I think I wouldn't be shocked that the Bears got, it would be Paris Johnson, who's a tackle from Ohio State. It would be Jalen Carter if he's there, obviously. It would be Miles Murphy, who's from Clemson. He's an edge rusher. Even Bijan Robinson actually wouldn't be shocked just because he's a really good running back. And the Bears aren't going to bring Demo back. And so you have that chance to get that stud at running back and adds to the game with Justin Fields, improves the running game, allows him to not have to run as much. And then there's, you know, they might take Jackson Smith and Jigba, though I don't know. It's weird with me because I feel like he's just going to drop. But because he had such an outstanding year last year, barring injuries, if he doesn't, even if they got him, I wouldn't be shocked. So
yeah, I got this. I think it's going to be a lot of – there's really no way that the Bears can go wrong, I believe, with the number 9 pick. There's so many places, so many holes in the field. But it's going to be exciting. I do think them talking to Jalen Carter means he's probably at the top of their board if he does drop. And I feel like he drops to 9, that's a fucking home run. We're going to wrap this up by talking about free agency a little bit. Like I said, the legal tampering period begins Monday. So for those of you who don't know, that means the teams can negotiate with free agents. They can say that they verbally agreed to a deal. So you're going to see a lot of announcements on Monday, but they can't actually sign until 4 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday. So even if you're a Jets fan and you're wondering when the fuck is Aaron Rodgers going to decide, it's going to be a decision before Wednesday because every team in the NFL needs to have their cap number set for 2023 by Wednesday.
Yeah.
So the Packers are going to need to know something from Aaron by Wednesday. So you're going to have that. So there's a whole bunch of free agents. There's been a lot more free agents than I expected this year because so many teams have been – so many people been getting cut, you know, to try to make room for cap, you know, Leonard Floyd. I mean, they're selling assets like a motherfucker at SoFi Stadium. You know, even a rumor that, oh, yeah, we're open to trade Matthew Stafford, but really not open to trade Matthew Stafford. There's been a lot of linebacker cuts. I mean, shit, the Vikings just got rid of, you know, Kendricks. They just got rid. Zadarius Smith wants to get up out of there. They're considering getting rid of Dalvin Cook. They just released Adam Thielen. So there's a lot more free agents out there than we originally expected. I think this free agency is going to tell me everything about what Ryan Poles' draft strategy is going to be. My prediction, I've seen there's been a lot of back and forth in Bears Twitter about this. And I've had a lot of debates about this. I think Orlando Brown Jr. is going to be
the Orlando Brown's the I'm glad you said it. He's the only sensible choice.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the number. I think he's going to be the first Bears announcement on Monday. I 100% do. I think you're going to see 2 to 3 signings from the Bears.
And if you get Orlando Brown, you don't need to get Paris Johnson.
Right.
Now, exactly. You're going to – Orlando Brown will take over for the side. Larry Bowman's on the right side. Tevin Jenkins can stay at guard unless you want to move him over to tackle where his normal position is, or Braxton Jones is, or whatever the fuck his name is, Braxton Jones. But you don't need to get Paris Johnson. Now you can solely focus on if Jalen Carter falls, getting him.
Yep.
The thing with this is that if you get Orlando Brown Jr., what did his father play for?
I don't remember.
Oh, come on now, Scott.
Oh, I didn't know he had that's his father is a, wasn't it? See,
no, I thought his father.
I put in Orlando Brown and showed me homeboy from that's a Raven.
No. I thought his father played like D1 football, not D1 football. I can't remember, but
his
I was using
used
that.
Father used to play football. His father died 12 years ago.
Well, I am completely thinking about somebody else. Now.
Yeah, you probably think about Orlando Pace, nigga.
No, I know who Orlando Pace is. Oh, shit, I thought his father was somebody else. Anyway.
I think he's going to be the first announcement. And I saw a lot of Bears fans are hesitant about it. It's like, well, he's not that great. Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he has his flaws. But, nigga, did you see this offensive line last year? He's a pro. You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, if you look.
I mean.
He's not that great because Patrick Holmes always had to run on his side.
Here's my thoughts about that. It's so much more to the offensive line and it breaking down than just one man.
Yes.
This is somebody who's been at the top of his game since he came into the league. That's such a big freaking jump. I don't know about that one. He was a lineman of the year when he was in the Big 12 at Oklahoma. Yeah. So, no, I don't know about that one. I don't know about them saying like they would get him. Why would you not get someone who's proven he's like a 5-time Pro Bowler, proven in his position over not having someone, over having someone that you can't be sure of? I would 100% take Orlando Brown. That would be an immediate choice because Larry Borum's not the answer. You get him. Tevin Jenkins stays where he is. Center, that's who knows what's going to happen to center. Could be Lucas Patrick.
If I see Lucas Patrick, I might scream. And not that Lucas Patrick might not be good. I don't know. This nigga's always hurt. So I think they need
it to could get- be that. I don't know if they want to see what happens with Doug Kramer. I don't even – it's just me tossing his name out there. He came from Illinois. I don't know if they see – if they want to build with him.
Mike McGlinchey, right tackle. They could sign him.
Oh, sign – my focus would only be Orlando Brown. And if he's gone, move on.
I think they're going to sign 2 offensive tackles. I really do. I think they're going to sign 2 offensive tackles. There's a couple of defenders. Tremaine Edmonds really – I want Tremaine Edmonds as a linebacker on the Bears. Yeah. I really, really liked him in Buffalo. He's only 24 years old. We've also got
– you got the space for it.
Jones. He's a nice D-tackle. But, another one who not to catch you off, is one deal that I'm, also thinking is going to be announced right after we hear Orlando Brown Jr. Bobby Okorie, who's the linebacker in Indianapolis. That's Flus's guy. He's a really good linebacker. And then also somebody tweeted when he got released or whatever on his Instagram. It was like Bears with an eye emoji, and he liked it with a strong emoji. So I wouldn't be shocked if that's a deal that we see announced too. But I think the offensive line –
also, these players are also just trying to boost their own stock.
Of course, 100%.
If they see that's a team interest in them, that gives them a little bit of leverage. Like, okay, you want me. Let's see where we can go with this.
Yeah. I mean, and this thing, before we get out of this right now, there's going to be some overspending. Okay, before we get to this annoying-ass topic, because it's going to come, and I really think it's going to come with this Orlando Brown contract, and I think they're going to front-load the shit out of that. There's going to be, I wouldn't pay them that much. There's going to be a bunch of that. The Bears have to reach a floor of $240 million this year. Now, of course, they can carry some of that for next year, but a lot of that's be filled. You got a lot of that's going to be extensions. I think Cole Kmet's going to get his extension. I think that Darnell Mooney's going to get his. And then you're going to see a lot of big signings. I think the Bears are going to be active players. Remember last year, we kept waiting. What is Poles doing? Everybody was so angry. At this point, we were begging for Juju Smith-Schuster.
I know.
I don't think I think Poles going to come out the gate. I'm talking about when I wake up Monday morning, I'm expecting some announcements.
Yeah, I think this is probably the best time for him to do it. Even last year, it's like, I don't think I was a part of it. I think I was one of the people, and correct me if I was wrong, who was like, huh, I thought he would do something, but I was like, the season's over. It doesn't really matter. No, or it's not important.
Because we knew they were trying to tank. He told us in his first press conference.
You know what I'm saying? So we weren't really shocked that they weren't going so all in. Yeah. And then why do something when you're a season? That's clearly not where you're trying to go with your season. And you end up with the number one pick, so it worked out. The thing about sports is, man, people want things to happen so quickly. And sometimes you just got to relax. You got to wait. Just hold on. Let's see what can happen first before we take this rush to get this person, to get this person. That's why if I'm Ryan Poles and I'm in their front office, Orlando Brown is my first and my only choice. After that, I'm moving on because in terms of linemen. Now, looking into a defender, someone like Tremaine Edmonds, yes, absolutely. But I think now the NFL is moving toward that. Once that veteran gets like 4 years in them, get him out of here. Contract's too big. Get somebody young. It's just like
he's 24, though.
No, here's my point I'm trying to make. Just like how companies do in regular capitalism and regular bartering, you want to make a product that's going to sell the most that costs you the little, the least amount. That way, you have so much more profit. You have a surplus of money. So the Bears do have this, and the Bears could overspend because that's typically been the trend in the NFL for decades now. You have all this money, spend it. But you also don't have to. You also can shore that up to do other things, to go hire some coaches, to go hire to bet up your facilities. There are so many things you can do with the money that you have. Players are the first thing that you think of, but you don't have to overspend for players. You get what you need, and then you move on. You get what you need, then you move on. Orlando Brown is a need. If Edmonds becomes the person that you want, that's also a need. But you have so much capital in the draft. I think my focus would be who can I draft and who can I pick right now.
I agree with that, but there's still a certain number they have to reach with players.
Oh, no, there is a number that they have to reach. I'm talking about overspending, where it's we're giving this dude
a... I'm saying there's going to be pro people. Like, if Orlando Brown gets – if they sign, he's going to be a little overpaid.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's all I'm saying by that, because we know that conversation is 100% going to come. Like, because that's what Bears fans like to do. Sports fans like to do. Sports fans like to argue.
For money in general, we're thinking about corporations, or NFL teams as corporations. They're moving it. They have always been small corporations into themselves because they're worth billions of dollars. But now there's so much things they can do with their money, period. Even for stadiums. It's like, how much did it cost to build so far? $4 billion?
Like $4 or $5 billion.
So far. Stadium cost. Lord have mercy. Yeah, $6 billion. Yeah, the Bears are not in a rush to just straight up spend $6 billion. It's going to be about $2 billion, but they're not going to spend $6
billion. Conserve your money
because there's something else you can do with it. The Bears have a number they have to hit within that cap because this is used for your football operations, but there's so much more you can do with that than just spending, because what I mean by that is you can hold on to that money and find somebody better. You have to reach a certain number. You have to reach a certain number, of course. That's negotiated within their contracts. But then after that, hold on to that.
A lot of this can go to their current players, too. Like, you're going to see
exactly. Hold on to that. You may get extensions. You may get somebody that you want to get or get picked up. So I just said, like, there's no reason to rush for them to just spend it or spend it. People are going to be overpaid, but overpaid is subjective because what's overpaid to you? What's overpaid to me? It's not like the NBA, where I think the NBA is just overpaying everybody.
Well, it's still the market with that, too, because right now, like, you know.
Weird, though, because market, it's the supply and demand is so weird for sports. You know what I mean? The market is set by these teams, and I hate that it happens that one team overspends and then, I want what he got. I want what he got. And
I mean, so you that's pay me. Business, though.
I hate that because within – consumer organizations, if you're looking at Jewel and Walmart, Walmart's going to typically have lower prices for food because they're going to bully companies who want to sell their food there. Because I'm Walmart. You're going to need my product inside here. I want you to sell it to me for a cheaper price. That's how it is. And so it's not always necessarily because this person's car, it costs here that I have to put that price here. But with the NFL and NBA, if you gave that person 50 mil, you better give me 50 mil.
Shit, that's even with baseball. Even if you look at who got paid? Corey Seager got paid. And that's what took Carlos Correa so damn much. You're like, nigga, I'm not making less than these motherfuckers. I'm a World Series champion. Like, I didn't do this, that, and the third. So, and even with from athlete perspective, while I do get what you're saying, they're like, I'm only going to be playing this game for a certain amount of years. Let me get my money while I'm in. And these TV contracts make it so that they're able to get that money, because the contract that the NBA is getting right now, there's going to be a $300-400 million player once this new NBA CB hits in like 2 years. Even with this, like we laughing at the Daniel Jones contract now, that ain't gonna be shit in 2 years. We gonna look like, you know what, they got on a bargain. Once Joe Burrow gets his deal, we gonna be looking like, oh yeah, that 40 million ain't shit. So that's just pretty much how it's gonna be, man. But I think that's all we got for y'all today. Just gonna give y'all the schedule, the off-season schedule. We'll be back in 2 weeks to recap free agency. We're gonna let everything play out. So you can get the free agency pod will drop on the 27th of March. We're gonna have a special, we're gonna have an interview pod. We're not gonna tell y'all who we interview. We're gonna have an interview pod up in there, and we're going to do three different position breakdown podcast in the month of April. We're going to do defensive line and defensive tackle breakdown pod of guys who we can put through the best potentially draft. We're going to do an offensive line breakdown pod, and we're even going to do a wide receiver breakdown pod. Now, even though wide receiver isn't a pressing need like it was 48 hours ago, we're still going to break that down. You never know what Ryan Poles has in his hands. And, of course, we'll be at the NFL draft, and we're going to do daily vlogs and drafts and podcasts like we did last year in Vegas. Yeah. It'll be a lot more organized this year because we actually know what the fuck to expect.
We were tossed in the fire with that. Thank you all for providing and helping us through GoFundMe, having the money to get out there, because you all literally paid our way. Yeah. But now that me and Scott's financial situations have stabilized,
And we have more time to plan it.
We have more time to plan it.
The NFL doesn't approve credentials until like 2 weeks before the actual event. So if you're somebody who's trying to get started in media, just get your hotel, get everything set up. So when you get the approval, you're already good to go.
Yeah. But dates to look for Bears fans, you got rookie minicamp that's going to be May 5th and 6th. One of us will be there. Yes. I may just be there for a day. I'm not sure. OTA start May 22nd through 23rd, and then the 26th. It comes back from May 3rd through June 1st, and then June 5th through June 8th. And then they take
it's like a month and a half.
2 weeks off, and then they have veteran minicamp June 13th through June 15th. And then, of course, you'll have that break, and then actual minicamp starts. And, yeah, all the fun stuff as we lead up to the next season. It's just amazing how, for some reason, it seemed like, oh, man, it's just going to be so long until football starts and I have to wait. And then I realized I got
NFL,
like
24/7, 365 league now.
I got really – because when did the Super Bowl happen? February, whatever it was.
February 13th. So it's
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
About a month ago. And now we're already talking about, all right, well, we got the draft next month. After the draft, we got rookie minicamp. After the rookie minicamp, we got OTAs. After OTAs, we got veteran minicamp. And then we're going all the way into regular off-season workouts, a regular off-season training. So that's,
There was big crowds at training camp last year, but there's going to be enormous crowds at training camp this year.
Oh, man.
There's going to be I'm going to have to leave. Whichever practices we go to, niggas going to have to leave wild early.
I've been fucking finally getting my back underway and having physical therapy so I can walk all this distance in this sun, because I know it's going to be hot.
Yeah, so. It was disrespectful heat during training camp last year. I feel like it's just hotter in Lake Forest for every fucking reason.
I kept saying minicamp. I couldn't get the word in my
Yeah, but that's all we got for y'all, man. I'm going to upload this as soon as we're done recording so y'all can listen to this today. I will have the video up by Monday, but the audio
and also
will be
this
up.
Season, I'm looking forward to some expedited upload times, because I finally have come into the 21st century and upgraded literally every piece of technology that I have, from a new phone to a new Mac to a new camera, tripod and everything. I'm hoping to get everything out quicker, easier, more streamlined, more content, just so you all can keep up with us. Also, me and Scott are focused on quality over quantity. We want to make sure we're giving you all the best possible instead of saying, here's a hot take I'm going to throw out. Like watching.
Well, you know, when you have a bad football team, you have to be creative with your rundowns because only so many times you can say, well, these niggas lost again. So you got to be real creative with your rundowns when you watch. And that's not me saying the Bears are going to be Super Bowl worthy next year. No, like this is still a process. But there will be a lot more competitive games. There will be a lot more wins. And I do believe this team, when everything is all said and done, can compete for a wild card spot, especially if and when Mr. Aaron Rodgers is a New York Jet. Then it's going to be pandemonium in the North.
If you know, the funny thing, I would love for Aaron Rodgers to go to New York and he has a good season. Because I can watch him and say, wow,
The minute he leaves his team, I don't give a shit what he does. Just get out of my life. I don't care what he does. They can win three in a row. I won't give a fuck.
I thought he was a terrible person. I was very much a fan of him. But then I found out he's a piece of crap, and so I don't really care.
I just need him out of my life, and I can't wait for to play Jordan Love twice next year. That would be – I'm going to look forward to Packer games now.
The team that's going to win the division next year is the Detroit Lions.
I'm not worried about Jared Goff. I'm sorry. I just never will be.
The team that's going to win the division are the Detroit Lions.
I'm not worried about the Detroit Lions. You write that down. You send it to 8 Mile. I'm not worried about motherfucking Detroit Lions.
What's her name on Twitter? Centrella? One of the biggest Lions fans that I see on Twitter?
I'm not worried about the fucking Detroit Lions.
She's like, I can tell you ain't from the city. I was like, I don't want to be from there. Excuse me. I have working street lights. I don't want to be from Detroit.
Look, I love Detroit. I'm not worried about no goddamn Lions. It's not even a team. I think they got a great roster. Hey, man, I'm not worried about Jared Goff.
As you all know, Detroit was me and Scott's second home for years when we were shorties. We were constantly in Detroit, which is insane to think about because Detroit was rough then. But we were constantly. Detroit has gotten so much nicer. I really like Detroit.
I like Detroit too. I look forward to going to Detroit. I like Detroit.
Did you go to Detroit this year?
Yes, I did. It was the last game I did this season.
It was so nice. I really
I fuck with Detroit. I'm just saying, you said it like it's like fucking Mayberry now.
Of course, it's an inner city. It will never be rough. But I love what Detroit's doing, and I love what the team is doing. I really think they're going to win the division next year.
Hey, man, as long as Jared Goff is quarterback.
Unless if Justin goes to the stratosphere, all bets are off. That's all I'm going to say.
And yeah. I'm not saying that they can't win it. I'm just saying I'm not worried about Jared Goff.
That's true.
I'm just not. I don't give a damn. He had a good season last year. I'm not worried about Jared Goff. I like Man Campbell, but I'm not worried. Look.
Man Campbell is hilarious.
You never heard that before?
I have not heard.
That's what Pat McAfee calls him, Man Campbell.
I wonder if Chicago Bears Hard Knocks.
They're one of the teams that's being considered this year. And I do think the Bears are Hard Knocks because the NFL made them because, you know, they don't like no cameras around at Hallis Hall. How dare we show you our moves?
I still hate that. And, it's, you know, I'm interested with – this is probably all talk before we get off with the upcoming mayoral elections because Big Sue Lightfoot is out. She's gone. The Bears won't have to deal with her as the mayor because it's going to be more than likely Paul Vallis is your mayor. Brian Johnson, even though he's supported by the teachers union and I were voting for him, I'm pretty sure Paul Vallis is going to win. When he assumes the mayorship, he has an opportunity at his hands. If I'm mayor, brother, I will tear down McCormick Place in any museum nearby for the Bears. I'll be like, you can have anything you want.
I mean,
tear down Lakeshore Drive.
Well, I agree with you. They just actually, the sale is complete now, though.
I don't mean, there's so many things they can do with that Arlington thing. Trust me, the Bears still want, there are so many things they can do with Arlington. And this is why every single email we get from the Bears Communications, it said, by no means are we saying this stadium is happening. Trust me, if the city of Chicago said, we'll give you anything, blank check, taxpayer dollars, they would stay here.
I think that shit is a wrap. It's over. They're going to Arlington.
Oh, it's a wrap as of right now.
Wrap, period. that's also part of the reason why they brought Kevin Warren in. That shit is over, okay? Enjoy Arlington.
Kevin Warren is in there to oversee a new stadium and a new transition.
Yes, everything. In Arlington Park. Arlington Park. It's not happening.
If I'm the Bears, I will kick them folks out of them apartments. I will restructure Lakeshore Drive. I will move the I will move the lake further out. It's just insane to me that no Chicago mayor thought to themselves, like, maybe I should listen to what the Bears want and I should negotiate and give them what they want.
Mayor Devin listened to the state of Illinois and said, fuck you. They don't like Mel Davis.
It's crazy. The state of Illinois, the city of Chicago, did you ever think how much the Bears do for the economy? Yes, they're a big business. And yes, big businesses will get what they want and the smaller person want. But it's the Bears we're talking about.
You yeah, but when you don't like somebody, you don't give
a shit. Shut up, nigga. It. You never thought to yourself, take what you want. Oh, McCormick Place, you don't want to hear? I'm mowing down McCormick Place.
If they like
the Field Museum, the aquarium, I don't care.
If they liked Matt Daly, yeah, they don't like him. So like, fuck you, nigga. We don't care how much sense it makes. Fuck you.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Anyway,
I'm going to enjoy Arlington Heights. I just wish it was still Chicago. Whatever.
I made my peace with it. Arlington, let's go. Hopefully, y'all have better food for the media by then.
That's the biggest problem, but that was the city of Chicago doing that, I think. No, that was it's who the Bears hired. So you might still get trash food there.
I hope not. Because they need to get
Scott
that
will judge you by your popcorn, Bears.
Yes. Everybody who goes to Staples Center, shout out my man at the Staples Center media room. I come in there after I eat, after I have my good food. I come downstairs after I come back from shoot around. I get me a big old box full of great Staples Center popcorn, throw a little pretzels in that motherfucker, shake it up. I'm good to go for the rest of the damn game. So I need y'all to get y'all game.
Best food we've had.
Atlanta, by fucking far. But easily, they had red velvet cookies.
Yeah,
easily. And that Mercedes-Benz Dome is my favorite non-SoFi stadium. I love Mercedes-Benz. It was great.
It was very nice.
It was great.
It was very nice.
It was great.
I still like Vikings.
I'll know what that looks like this season because I'll be going to that game. But SoFi is still the GOAT. SoFi is a GOAT.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure that will be. SoFi's the GOAT.
No. Because
they're playing an LA team, but it's here.
No, they are playing a charge. No, it's in SoFi. It is a SoFi. You're right.
I'll see you soon.
Yes, that's good. That's a game I ain't got to travel for. So that'll be good. But that's all we got for y'all today, man. You know to follow us on Twitter at Barbershare Scott, at Flows and Delaney, at Barbershare Net. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. And of course, man, we'll be back in 2 weeks, man, to break down the newest members of the Chicago Bears via free agency, man. We'll holler at y'all.